Hello and welcome to the MDS podcast, the podcast channel of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society. I am Tiago Tairu, a professor at the University Medical Center in Göttingen and at Newcastle University in the UK. And today I have the pleasure to interview Dr. Marina Homeno-Ramos, professor from Aarhus University in Denmark. Welcome, Marina. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Tiago.
So you just gave a beautiful lecture here at the MDSES workshop in Padua, and I would like to ask you to briefly summarize your presentation to our listeners.
Yeah, so I had the task in this workshop to actually introduce the concept of immune or inflammatory biomarkers. During my talk, my aim was to try to explain how I think we should start using immune cells in blood to try to understand how the disease is progressing and how they can tell us what is happening in the brain and what is happening clinically to our patients, as to move a little bit beyond the cytokine era that we had before. I think we are ready to go into more immune cellular analysis rather than soluble cytokines and chemokines as we did before.
Yeah, so this is still a small field, but I think mostly, and yeah, you alluded to this, mostly because we are not really immunologists, so we're not used to thinking about immunology in the context of a neurodegenerative disease like Parkinson's. But it's a very important topic, and for a few years we've had some important studies come out on this topic. And based on what we know so far, what is your view about how immune system alterations should be seen in the context of Parkinson's? Are they a cause or a consequence of Parkinson's?
I always say that although my lab is very interested in immunity, I never want to lose the focus of the neuron. I still think that the neuron is central to the disease. However, I may think that at least in certain patients, maybe events that are happening within neurons that should be handled nicely by immune cells may lead to disease when these immune cells do not, let's say, work properly. And I think that may be even very relevant for patients who have maybe mutations in the LRRK2, because as we know, LRRK2 is highly expressed in monocytes and in microglia in the humans. In the mouse it's a little bit different, but in the humans it's like that. And maybe also GBA, because we well know that GBA affects lysosomes, and one of the highly phagocytic cells that we have in the body are immune cells. So I'm not saying everything starts in an immune cell, but I'm saying that maybe things that starts in a neuron that should be handled nicely, in these conditions, the failure of the immune system to actually respond nicely eventually precipitates the disease. So can we say then that it's due to the immune system? I don't think so, because the initial point has to come from the neuron. But I think indeed, there are cases where the immune system will be a major driver of the disease.
And we are in this workshop on diagnostic and progression biomarkers. So how should we look at the immune system as a possible source for biomarkers for Parkinson's?
Well, I think more and more studies are coming out about the expression of certain proteins in immune cells in the blood that seems to correlate to symptomatic findings in the patients and even imaging findings in the brain. And I believe that they can be used as to know what is happening in the brain. So that can be very useful. Another thing that it has been found is that immune cells present certain pathological cellular processes that normally we have associated with neurons, like a mitochondrial failure or lysosomal failure. So we may use those ones as tools to know what are those pathways that are altered within neurons. And therefore, that can be really powerful tools that we can use in our everyday lab to learn better what is happening in our patients, maybe even to jump to these personalized therapies, let's say, to learn if I'm going to do mitochondrial protection, is it meaningful in this patient, yes or not? So I think they can be used both as proxies of what is happening in the brain and also as cellular tools to test things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In your presentation, you mentioned your recent work on the transport of immune modulatory information via the vagus nerve, which we know is an important communication highway between the periphery and the brain. And you mentioned how this might be used for subtyping PD, and especially in the context of the brain first versus body first hypothesis. So can you explain a bit your thoughts about this and maybe whether you think we are getting close to understanding this enough that we can incorporate this level of information for subtyping Parkinson's in the context of a possible biological classification of Parkinson's?
Yeah, well, I think the fact that the vagus nerve is an immune modulatory nerve has been known for very long. Probably this is something that as researchers in the field of Parkinson's, we haven't thought very much about it. The truth is that we have really significant data indicating that there is an affection of the vagus nerve, at least in a subgroup in our patients. We can refer to the hypothesis of the brain first, body first, or not. If you are not very fond of that hypothesis, you can just acknowledge that the fact that some patients have a clear vagus affection and others that are not. My hypothesis or the belief in my lab is that maybe that affection of the vagus nerve will actually influence how the immune system will respond to the neuronal process of the disease. Normally, the vagus nerve is anti-inflammatory. It tries to decrease inflammation. And if you do not have the vagus nerve doing that, in your patient, the inflammatory component may be more aggressive, and that will lead to a more severe form of the disease. This is still a hypothesis, and my lab and other labs in the world are trying to understand if there is an immune component that can distinguish between the different subtypes of the diseases. And I believe, maybe we're not yet there, but I believe it will be used in the future as one tool more to actually characterize what type of Parkinson's disease that my patient is presenting. We just mentioned during the workshop the urgency that there is about working together with pathologies, with imaging, with a geneticist. And till now, we have been a little bit of a loner, each of us, and we have to work together to really characterize the patient.
And I was just thinking now about patients that underwent vagotomy or hemivagotomy. And there are studies, as you know, that suggest that they may be protected against the spread. So then how would we incorporate this with this possibility?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I do not doubt that maybe the vagus, it may be an entrance to the brain. Obviously, if you close the door, there is no entrance to the brain. So basically, there's no need to respond to anything because there's not a neurodegenerative event occurring. However, it will be interesting to see, and this is something that it has not been done, but I have talked to Per Bohammer about that, to see out of the patients who underwent vagotomy, those who developed Parkinson's disease, did they develop a very aggressive one? That will be interesting to see, because we actually vagus nerve stimulation is being used nowadays as a therapy in brain diseases. So it is being proposed as a therapy for Crohn's disease and other inflammatory diseases. The ability of the vagus nerve to control certain immune environment is known. What we do not know is what happens if you have Parkinson and you have no vagus nerve. Nobody has checked that. So that will be another epidemiological study there.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. And so do you think with the tools that are available today, especially pharmacological tools, do you think clinicians should start thinking about using strategies for modulating the immune system in their clinical practice? Do you think this could make sense as an additional therapeutic option, at least in some forms of Parkinson's?
That's a very good question. I think that there are now many basic research studies suggesting that indeed the immune component even if we are still unsure if it is at the onset of the disease, it really promotes disease. So anti-inflammatories will make sense, isn't it? But on the other hand, it is true that we are lacking longitudinal studies. I think this is the big problem of the field. We need to have longitudinal studies to truly jump from association to actual happening. This is changing when my patient is going to the next level of severity. So maybe we are not yet there. On the other hand, we should use the enormous amount of drugs that are out there that have been used so far in other diseases that are very efficiently targeting T cells and monocytes and so far. And there is a recent paper from Ashley Harms where she actually used a drug that is used already in human to modulate T cells. And she shows that it's protective in an animal model. So we can jump to those drugs that are already approved. And that is very promising, but probably we need a little bit more of a longitudinal studies for that.
Yeah, I understand. And so just a final question, what do you think will be major advances in this field in the coming years? Is there something that you think, oh, we will get there, we will address this and this will be important?
I think, again, I will come back to the longitudinal. I think the field is becoming more and more aware of that need in the immune world. And I know as a fact that the Michael J. Fox is planning a new PPMI, and they have made a very big effort to isolate immune cells properly this time for the PPMI, because in the previous one, it was not in the list of things that they wanted to collect. So, but now they are, and they have taken it very seriously. They have approached what is the best protocol, what is the best way to harmonize these between the different, you know, centers in the world. So it will come. It will come, this longitudinal. It will tell us if the immune component is equally relevant in all our patients. That's another major thing. Maybe we will in the future say you have an immune-driven Parkinson's disease versus a non-immune-driven Parkinson's disease. And that will help us very much to how to approach therapy, I think.
Wonderful. Marina, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed as well.
Thank you so much.
So we've just interviewed Dr. Marina Romero-Amos on the occasion of the MDSCS workshop on diagnostic and progression biomarkers in Parkinson's disease and atypical Parkinsonism here in Padua. And I thank you all for listening. I invite you to listen our upcoming podcasts. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders, and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.